Welcome to our conference call. This is for PE101, which is the Liver Programs and Events. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territories of the Kwinana First Nation and Tong Kwaching Council. Our agenda for today's conference call is pretty similar to most of them. We'll start with a round of introductions, and then we'll go through some of the content for this week, and then we'll talk a little bit about the programs or events that you're planning and some of the tips that you have to share with other people, because this is a great learning experience. I've done this. This is probably the sixth or seventh time I've facilitated this learning event, and people always have the neatest ideas, and so everybody usually walks away with other good ideas. So fun to share on this one. So Tim is also helping me facilitate this learning event, and I'll let Tim introduce himself first. And then we're going to go around in our circle in the order that you joined the call. And again, if you'd like to pop your answer in the chat, go ahead and do it whenever you're ready. You don't have to wait for us to come around to you. And so when you introduce yourself, because we have some new people, I just would like you to, in 10 seconds or less, to tell us your name, the community you're from, and a little bit about what your role is as far as designing and delivering recreation. So not managing facilities, but what sort of programs or events are you responsible for in your community? So we're going to start with Tim and then go to Trista and then Peter, and then I'll pop the rest of the order in the chat or on the phone. So over to you, Tim.
Thanks, Carolyn. Hi, everybody. I'm Tim, and I'm at Film Bouquet in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. And my role in designing and delivering recreation has changed a little bit in the last couple of years. So I have more of a design role where I have the opportunity to create new ideas and new things. And when I'm lucky, get other people to run them for me, which has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Trista, I think you said you were going to pop in the chat, so I'll let you pop in the chat unless you want to jump in quickly there. Okay, and Trista's muted. So let's go to Peter. Peter, 10 seconds or less. Please tell us your name, community, and a bit about your role in designing and delivering recreation. And then after Peter, we're going to go to Jed, Tracy, and then Rebecca.
Hi there. My name is Peter Jacob. I am the Active Living Coordinator for the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. I do a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes work for other people learning programming, but that being said, I do have a couple initiatives going that are just designed to get people more active and outdoors.
Awesome. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for introducing yourself. Over to you, Jed.
Hi, I'm Jed. I help facilitate a variety of different programs in Teslin, all ages and activities. So, yeah.
That's great. And Teslin is in the small community in the Yukon and it's east of Whitehorse. It's fun to know where people are from too. I really like looking at all of your different communities on a map. So welcome, Jed. Just before we go to Tracy and then Rebecca, I'll just read what Trista popped in the chat. Trista's from Ignace, Ontario, and a cool place to look up if you want to look up where it is on the map. And she's a recreation programmer, and she does a bit of everything. I'm sure there's others of you here that do a bit of everything, too. So thanks for pointing that out, Trista. She's the only one who offers programming in her community, so she designs, plans, implements, and delegates wherever possible. So trying to get those volunteers, which I know we talked about on a different call, is tough to do sometimes. So let's go to Tracy. So Tracy, if you'd like to unmute yourself with star six, and just tell us who you are, where you're from, and what your role in recreation is.
Hi, my name is Tracy McKenna. I'm from Cambridge Bay, Limited. I'm the recreation coordinator, and I run mainly youth programs in Cambridge Bay.
Awesome, thanks. And Morgan, who's also in this learning event, she's from Kugluktuk and she does youth programs. So I don't know if you've met Morgan through RPAN or other activities or not, Tracy.
I'm at Morgan.
Oh, that's great. It's nice to know some of the people on the call. So welcome, and welcome to the Rec North training program. Okay, so from Tracy, we're able to... Hi, is that Juliana?
Yes. I was here since the beginning. I was decided that she wanted me to go right after Trace because we're all coming, but I can wait until the end of the call.
Oh, are you guys on the same phone?
No, I'm actually in another city, so no, we're not on the same phone.
Okay, I'll add you down at the end of the circle, or as we come back around our circle. So our circle will be jumping around today. So thank you. Thanks for letting me know you're on the phone, Juliana, because I think a few people have joined, and I'll check at the end if I missed anybody or not. Thank you. Okay, so from Tracy, let's go to Rebecca, then Deanne, and then Isabel. So over to you, Rebecca.
Hi. This is Rebecca Penny. I'm currently living in Massey Drive, Newfoundland, originally from Chesterfield in Nunavut. And I'm the ED in training for Nunavut Arctic Sports Association. Right now, I just usually schedule some camps until my manager semi-retires.
Semi-retires is what I heard was the latest for Dawn. So.
Yeah.
Well, and aren't you going to Arctic Winter Games next week, too?
Yeah, next week we start travel all the way to Vancouver Inlet and catch a charter and head to Yellowknife and Fort McMurray.
Oh, that's a long ways to go. Well, have a wonderful week. We'll understand if you're not on the call next week because the games will be exciting to go to. It'll be interesting to know if anybody else on the call is going as well. So. Thanks for joining us today, Rebecca. Okay, let's go to Deanne, then Isabel, then Nathan, and then I'll pop the rest of the names in the chat.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. This is Deanne. I work at the Squash Yukon, and we are also going for the Canada Winter Games in February, not now. Yeah, have fun, everyone.
Thanks. Are you going to Arctic Winter Games, or there's no squash at Arctic Winter Games?
No, yeah. Carolyn, there is no squash in the Arctic Games, so you're not.
Okay. To that, Arctic Winter Games are super cool to go to as well, so maybe
you can go
for another sport sometime.
Yes.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today. So after Deanne, let's go to Isabel, and then Nathan, and then David.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Isabel. I am calling from Zakokada Hinge Junction in the Yukon Territory. I'm taking this course because I am kind of the champion in recreation in the community. We have had a big gap in our services for the municipality, and I kind of want to take that on, and I'm working closely with my municipality office to potentially, maybe, one day we'll have a recreation department. But yeah, I'm hosting events and activities for young people in the Junction. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks for joining us, Isabel. It's exciting to hear things sort of evolving and growing in Haines Junction. So thanks. And Haines Junction's pretty far west. So we're going from Haines Junction to Baker Lake. Big jump across the north. So over to you, Nathan.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Nathan Unano here, the recreation coordinator for Baker Lake. I run community events, community feats, run Easter games, Hermit games, and organize the festival by the lake, get performers, comedians, or anything happening in Baker Lake, pretty much. I'm Nick Dock Recreation Complex.
That's great. Thanks, Nathan. And hopefully you had a good travel week last week with no weather events interfering. So.
It was just a no-time issue. Domino effect in Toronto Pearson, but I made it home a day later. gotta learn to roll with the punches anyway with the North, so no big worries.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us today. So let's hop back over to the west side of the north and go to David, and then we're going to go all the way over to Joanne. So we're kind of going back and forth like a giant spider web here.
Well, it's okay. You can get stuck on a spider web. David Jennings, Elder Active Program Coordinator, pulling my hair out. That's okay.
Too much to do in January, hey?
There's lots of programs going on.
Okay. Well, let's go to Joanne, and then we're going to go to Kumanopic and Trevor, and then Juliana. So over to you, Joanne.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joanne Niedmark. I am from Kingite, Nunavut. I am the Recreation Director for the Municipality of Kingite, also the Program Manager in Training for ARPAN. I schedule and organize a variety of activities and programs in our community that are implemented by our Recreation Coordinators, from sport-focused programs, cultural programs, and a variety of events that run throughout the year. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
It sounds like you have a lot on your plate too, Joanne, just like David.
Yes, I am quite busy. I am actually acting SAO right now until the end of the month, so my hands are pretty tight right now.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for taking the time to join our call. It's really nice to hear your voice, and your input is always welcome into these conversations. So thank you. Now, Kumanopic, you said that Trevor was there and you were waiting for Andrew. I'm just curious. In my mind, Iqaluit is like way north from Kinggate. Am I kind of correct?
What?
That's correct.
Is Iqaluit? Okay, so Iqaluit, if I draw a line north from Kinggate, would you kind of get to Iqaluit eventually?
I think so.
Okay. Well, Andrew sent me a picture of Iqaluit last week on my phone. It was really interesting to see because I was outside of Vancouver and it was all green. So we compared pictures about where we were at, so that was kind of fun. So. Welcome today. Trevor's posted in the chat, so I'll read it after. Kumanopic, would you like to introduce yourself and just tell us a bit about what you do for programs and services in your community and recreation?
Okay. Kumanopic Amatia, Recreation Coordinator for the Municipality of Iqaluit. I coordinate events, plan them, execute them, accept rental agreements, and run the after-school program, staff meetings with the Wellness Committee, Two Cup Society, and, yeah, those are pretty much it.
That sounds like a lot. So thanks to you two for joining us today. And Trevor popped in the chat that his name is Trevor. Well, I guess I just said that. Sorry, Trevor. And he's the arena supervisor. So welcome to you, Trevor, as well. And Kumanopic, I don't know if Andrew joined you or not. So possibly not. So thanks for popping that in the chat. I didn't want to leave him out. And then we'll go to Juliana, and I'm not sure if I missed anybody else. So after Juliana, I'll just ask if I missed anybody in our circle. So back all the way up to Cambridge Bay to you, Juliana.
Hi, everyone. Juliana here. So my role in the recreation in Cambridge Bay is more on the design. Sometimes I do help Trace and the delivery, but it's made mostly on the design.
That's great. Well, it's important to, you know, the design and the deliver goes together. So really, really important. So thank you for joining us, Juliana. And is there anybody I missed in our spider web circle as we went around? Did I miss anybody? Oh, well, that was good because that's a big circle today. So thank you. So I'm going to take about 5 minutes just to go over the content. And then the next question that I'm going to ask you is I will be asking you just to tell us about the program or event that you've presented or are designing as your required learning activity. So you can maybe while I'm explaining some of the content, you can pull that up or just think about what you might want to share with regards to that. So last week, we explored 3 of 6 steps that we can use for designing a program or event, designing and delivering. And one thing, I didn't share with you the results from Activity 1 last week, so I wanted to share it with you because I found it interesting. You chose in Activity 1, it just asks you to choose your top 5 reasons for designing a program, activity, or event before you deliver it. So why would you take the time to design it properly? And as a group, 14 of you said that you want to make sure that you meet the needs and interests of your target group. So that was the number one reason. The number two reasons were tied for 10 people each chose these reasons. So one was to achieve a balance in the different types of activities. So making sure you're not always doing the same thing. Another reason that was really important for all of you was to help ensure a safe experience. And absolutely, as you will see when we get to the risk management learning event in February, safe experiences are really important. And if you plan properly, you can make a safer experience than if you don't plan. So good reason for designing before you deliver something. And then the other one that I found was interesting that 8 people chose was to align with your annual programming goals. So that tells me that you sort of have a plan for the year and you know that you have pieces that fit into your overall plan and you're making sure that the pieces fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. So great reasons. When you make sure that your activities are safe, when you add a variety of activities, when you take the time to design your programs and events, then the quality of your recreation is better in your community and people are more engaged. And when the quality is good and people are more engaged, then you get more benefits. You get healthier people, mental wellness improves, people come together and do things together. So good reasons for designing before you deliver. I'd also like to thank you for your help in creating the Northern Programs and Events Checklist. And I posted that in Activity 2, and it's also available as a Word document. So if you want, you can download it and just take the things that are important to you. You don't have to use the whole thing. So you can create your own checklist that you use for different programs or events. So I'd like to take a few minutes to explore the last 3 of the 6 steps in program or event design. And so the acronym we use was PROGRAM, with the G and the R going together. And you can start with slide 19 if you have the slides open in front of you. And thanks for popping that link in the chat there, Tim. So the 3 steps are get ready, action, and monitor. And this helps you actually carry out your design. So the GR, or get ready, helps you progress from your outline to how the program or event will be delivered or take place. So although the get ready step might seem like a lot of work because it's probably the biggest piece of your design, when you put the time in here, things will run more smoothly and your program or event will be more successful. So it's really important to do 2 things in the get ready step. So as slide 20 shows you, you might start with a work plan, and this is part of your required learning activity for this week, and some of you have already jumped in and tackled it. So a work plan asks you to sort of take what you need and put it into manageable tasks, decide when you have to do each task, and who will do it. It doesn't have to be complicated. As you could see, most of you had work plans that were a page or less. But it's really good if you're working with other people because then each person knows who's doing what. So that's a really important thing. So I like how those of you who've done this already have added people's names in there too. Slides 22 and 23 introduce an activity plan. And those of you who are involved with sports or things like that might think of an activity plan in the same way as a lesson plan. And often an activity plan shows a progression from the beginning to the end of your session. So it's a little different. Your work plan is all the things you need to do around your program or event to make it happen before, during, and after. And the activity plan is how each session runs. So if you have an event, it's just one session. But if you have something like Juliana, I like your food literacy classes. So there's a number of those there. So your activity plan Although it might flow the same way, it might be different from one session to the next. And so in an activity plan, you want to include things like the name of the program, the leader or leader's names, the dates and times, the equipment or space that you need, and details about the session's activities. So work plans and activity plans are the focus of this week's required learning activity. So I'm going to ask a question, and I'm not going to put Trista on the spot here. I'm going to start with Rebecca. I hope you don't mind. I jumped partway down my list, and let's start with Rebecca in our circle this time. But let me put the question in first, and that way you can have a chance to think about it. So, Rebecca, the question for you is, in 30 seconds or less, what is the program or event you're designing or have designed or want to design for your required learning activity? And will a work plan and or activity plan be useful? Because they're not always, both of them aren't always useful for everything. So Tim's popped the order in. We're going to go Rebecca, Ian, Isabel, and so on. So over to you, Rebecca. Okay, so type away. That's great. Thanks for letting me know. Deanne, over to you then. Would you like to just share with us the activity that you're planning to design and let us know if a work plan and or activity plan will be helpful?
Yes, Carolyn. I can explain one more plan. So I have designed a plan for running a tennis event, tennis coaching event for kids during the Polar Games, which is happening on 8th of February in the Canada Game Center. So that is one of our biggest facility for sports infrastructure. And so we'll be having Fluxy Hall where we'll be teaching progressive tennis to grade six students from all the schools in Whitehorse. So approximately we'll be having around 200 kids, and they will be coming in the batches of 45 kids at a time. So we'll be setting up all the small nets and the modified courts, and the kids of the schools will get benefit from that.
That's great. Thank you. So I see that you included both a work plan and an activity plan. And, you know, it's a one-time event, but obviously if you're dealing with that many children, you have to have it planned really well because you want to make sure things are safe. You want to make sure you run them through some progression since that's the purpose. So I saw that you posted both a work plan and an activity plan. So thanks, Karen. And over
thank
to you.
You,
Isabel, and then we'll go Nathan and David. So I'll pop the question in the chat again. Isabel, if you'd like to tell us about the program or event you're designing and maybe comment on how useful you think a work plan and or an activity plan will be.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, the activity that I decided to do for the learning activity was a one-day event, and it's a ski club family fun day. So we will be hosting this event at a local campground that is just on Pine Lake in Junction, Yukon. With this activities, it is very important that all of the roles and responsibilities and duties and tasks are very well laid out and who is responsible for this. For this event, we have many collaborators coming into play. So we have different organizations all collaborating together. There's about five of us. So having a very well laid out plan, and everybody's on the same page, and we know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and everybody has, you know, a list of their clear tasks that they have to accomplish to ensure that we're all going to be successful for the day. So yes, having a plan is very important.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be very busy. I mean, I know Haines Junction always gets lots of people out to those types of events. So if you have that plan and each person knows what they're supposed to be doing and they have it written down, then it's much more likely that you'll be successful. So thank you for sharing that. Awesome. And Kumapik, yes, it's for the first required learning activity, the question is. And some people have done both of them because it's part A and part B. But you can just tell us about what you're planning. I haven't read yours, but I see you posted it. So we're going to go to Nathan, David, Joanne, and then Kumanopic and Trevor. So over to you then, Nathan.
Hi, yeah. I've been sort of planning around the Easter Games now. That's the next big event, really. So there's like Easter, Hamlet Days is 2 or 3 weeks after that. That's another week-long event of games. And then after that is, you know, Canada Day games. And I would, so, but like I said, Easter's the next one. It's in April 10th. It's usually a Monday because can't do anything on religious weekends. It's the community will get mad at me. But anyway, I'm thinking of starting on the 10th on an Easter Monday, finishing it up on the 14th, plan on games, events, core dances, and I have to get caribou so I can get some feasts. For sure they're going to want an opening feast and a closing feast. I'm going to have to see how it works out. Maybe separate it to the elders' feast because they like to be isolated from the public. But I know the activity plan, I think, should really help all those. The last events have been kind of going off the fly, or just doing it at last minute. Like that community feast we had, it took 18 hours. So yeah, it'd be nice to plan things ahead of time this time.
Wow. And the other advantage of planning out something that's a big event like that is then you can keep your plans for next year. And if you, you know, happen to have more staff or someone else to help you, they can also review what you did. And a work plan is kind of neat. You can add another column and you can list what worked well or what didn't work, or, oh, I need to order my supplies like 2 months earlier, those sorts of things. So it can help you from year to year with the special events that you're doing. So thanks for mentioning that, Nathan. Let's go over to David and then Joanne and then Kumanopic and Trevor.
Hello, I've been listening, but all I have, and I keep hitting refresh, the last thing I see was Tracy just entered the chat at 11:04. I've tried to get back in. So all I'm going to do is say, ask me the question again, please.
You bet. And David, the refresh probably won't work. What you'll have to do is go back into the activity number 5, click that link on number 5, and then go down and enter the chat new all over again. Is something funny
that's
with
what
this?
I do. That's what I.
Okay.
That's what I did, and I'm still not getting anywhere. Just so you know.
Okay.
And
well,
here's
the question.
Okay. Go for it.
I see that you've posted an activity called "Let's Go Fly a Kite," and I just read it, and I was like, "Wow, that sounds cool." So, could you tell us a little bit about that? And maybe comment on if a work plan and or an activity plan will be useful for you for that event.
First of all, yes, an activity plan would be useful for the event. The event is very simple. It's celebration of International Kite Day. And here in the Yukon, we're used to running around in the snow. So I can't see a reason why we can't fly a kite. And it's designed for intergenerational. The design is to get parents, children, and grandparents together in a fun 2-hour or 3-hour event out at Shipyard Park.
That sounds so much fun. I had no idea there was an International Kite Flying Day. So my son actually does kite skiing, so if you want a bigger kite, just let me know and I'll arrange for him to come down for you.
I've got 2 of them.
Okay. So there you go. That's great.
Yes. And a direct plan would be good. I did a basic outline, but yeah.
Yeah, so you can take a look, like for your work plan, you can flesh out a bit more detail and stuff for it. So thank you. That was great. Thanks for sharing.
Okay.
Okay, let's go over to Joanne and then Kumanopic. And Trevor, you can pop in the chat if you want to.
Yes, it's Joanne on the line here. So I decided for this
learning activity, I chose a one-day event. It's a community feast. I think having an activity plan is very helpful and beneficial for all staff and volunteers participating in the event. And it's a good way for staff to understand their roles and, you know, you don't want to set them up to fail. Again, an activity helps staff have a clear understanding of program and the desired outcome and the actual activity itself. It's good too for to have an activity plan for scheduling, so we're not running out of time or late time. And yeah, I just thought I'd share that quickly.
Yeah, I like how you explain that it's important for working with your staff or your volunteers. So I think it's a great way to make sure everybody's on the same page. And even if it's something simple like I shouldn't call a community feast simple. There's a lot of work that goes into that. But even if it's a one-time event, you know, having that type of thing, and you can use it for, like you said, for training other staff. So that's great. I'm just curious, in your post, you have an Inuktitut word. Is that word, does that translate to community feast, or is it the name of the community feast in your community?
Yes, it's translated in Inuktitut. It is the community feast, but we used that name for the particular event. And again, it's very important to have an activity plan, because planning a community feast actually takes longer than expected. For me to organize that community feast, I had to seek funding, so that was a few months in advance before advertising that we are looking to purchase. So we, in our active plan, we had to include a whole bunch of stuff, from securing the funding, to purchasing the food, to hiring local hunters. There's a whole lot more, but I'll just stop right there.
Yeah, no, that's great. On our Northern Programs and Events checklist, we did have a lot of those things. And last week, we also talked about, you know, if you're ordering anything in, like, well, or even getting local community, like, local food as well, right? It takes time to plan for that. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Joanne. Let's go over to Panoptic. And Trevor, if you wanted to post in, I think both of you guys have posted already. So Kumanoptik, would you like to tell us about the programmer event? It looks like Victoria Day Weekend Fishing Derby.
Yeah, that's what I worked on, Victoria Day Fishing Derby Weekend. Since it's a single event that takes place for 3 days, so the work plan would really be useful since it's a event that takes place for 3 days, 72 hours. We just need to do a little bit in the first day and nothing much on the second day, just wait around. But on the third day, we would need to do a whole lot of things. Set up the tables outside the hall and scale fishes or even measure them and set up the prizes, give it away, collect the signatures. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. That must be a great activity to get people out on the, you know, in May, because it's probably a lot nicer out on the ice, and you must have, like, 24 hours of daylight by then, too. So that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Kumanoptik. And, Trevor, if you wanted to post it in the chat, go ahead. Juliana, let's go to you. Would you like to tell us about the programmer event you're designing for this required learning activity, and comment on, you know, whether a work plan and or activity plan will be useful?
Yes. So, as you have briefly mentioned, I had something to deliver last Friday. It was a work plan for a food literacy program. Yes, to try some life skills and give some opportunities for people in the community to access different programs. So this is what I worked on for my designing, the outline. So I just realized that I did it all, right? I did the outline and the work plan already. But it was good to go through the checklist, especially because I'm the one looking for the planning and design. I sit with people that will deliver the program for us to check a little bit. So I put into words everything that we are planning on doing. Sometimes we have sometimes the person that I sit to design the program with is not there anymore, so then we need to explain again to whoever is coming into that position what we're looking for, when we're looking for the funds, and what we want to achieve with the community. So usually this work plan is what helps. It really helps to get the information between whoever was designing, in this case the one that I had designed, and people there delivering the activity, all the expectations and everything.
That's great. Thanks, Juliana. So I think I asked you a question just about the activity plan. So if you wanted to sort of do a bit of an outline for that one for this week, that would be great as well. So thank you. Trist has popped her answer in the chat. She's planning a Winterfest No Sculpture Challenge, and it runs the whole month of February. So even though it's a simple event to host, she said it's helpful to plan out the details and backup plans. That was what I was wondering. What happens if it rains or it's sunny and warm the whole month of February? So great. Thanks for sharing that, Trista. And then let's go over to Peter and then Jed and then back up to Tracy. So Peter, if you'd like to tell us a little bit about what you're planning, that would be great.
Hi there. I keep getting kicked from the chat. Sorry, one second. I'm planning a with the City of Whitehorse, a Nordic walking instructor training session for the city employees. And the purpose is basically to create Nordic walking leaders in the recreation department of the City of Whitehorse so that they can go on to run Nordic walking workshops with the community. I'm planning on having it in March. And I definitely think a work plan or an activity plan is very useful. Just to kind of set a framework for it and make sure that all the pieces are in the right place before the event. So, yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Peter. Good to know that that will be an opportunity in Whitehorse in March, I think you said. So David might be interested in that, too. So thank you for sharing. Okay, let's go to Jed and then Tracy. Jed, what were you thinking about for a program or event that you were planning?
Yeah, I decided to cover a after-school STEM program and the things you have to have good plans for what activities you're going to do, or they might not work out very well. So an activity plan would be very helpful.
Yeah, especially when you're doing programs with youth, you want to keep things rolling, right? Like you want to make sure that one activity leads into the next and there's not a lot of downtime between that. So that's where the activity plan to lay that out is really helpful. So thanks, Jed. I look forward to reading. I see you posted, so I look forward to reading that. And Tracy, you've popped in the chat that you're planning on having a his and her cooking program for youth to learn basic cooking skills, and that an activity plan will be useful. I'm wondering if you'll also use a work plan, if that would be useful to figure out what you have to do before you have the program start or as it's running or afterwards. So I don't know if you wanted to jump in on the phone or just pop in the chat, up to you. Yes, okay, perfect, great. Thank you. Okay, well, that's a lot of, I can't believe, I started writing down all the different ideas and you guys have so many different ideas and so many different types of events and programs and target groups from children all the way through to elders, whole communities, indoor, outdoor things. So it's really exciting to hear about the different programs and events that you're planning in your community. A couple of other things that I just want you to keep in mind are make sure that when you create your work plan or your activity plan, put enough detail into it because sometimes life happens. And you might not be at work that day or somebody else might need to take over. So if you put enough detail into your work plan and your activity plan, someone else, if you can't make it or something happens in your life, somebody else should be able to pick it up and follow what you've got there. I often do that when I'm teaching first aid in case I leave one night and something comes up or I'm sick the next day and I leave my activity plan or my lesson plan open so somebody could step in and carry on where I left off. The other thing is for those of you like Joanne who have staff or Juliana, if you have someone leading a program or an activity and you're supervising them, it's really, really great to ask them for copies of their activity or lesson plans and keep them on file. We'll talk about that in risk management, but it's a great practice to keep those things on file in case something happens. So activity plans are a risk management tool for teaching skills like squash or tennis, and should always, especially with children's programs and youth programs or sport, show a progression from one thing to the next. So moving on to slide 24, we can see finally we're ready for A in the program, which is action. Woohoo! And I think most of you are really good at the action. It's time to carry out your work plan, use your activity plan, and have fun. So action is a big thing. Follow your activity plan, but as you probably already know, you have to be flexible. In community recreation, something out of the ordinary always happens. So it's nice to have those backup plans like Trista mentioned. And our last step is shown on slide 25. That's M for monitor. And what monitor does is it reminds you to track what works well and what you might want to or need to change the next time. So my suggestion would be to add a column in your work plan that how did this go? And so a week-long event like what Nathan's planning, those notes can be really useful for next year. Or Juliana, on last week's call, you explained how you guys found out how long it actually took to order food and get it shipped into the community. So any of those notes are really great. So I'm curious to know, we're going to do one last really quick round, and this round, maybe you can pop this in the chat, Tim. We're going to start with Nathan this time. I'm going to put Nathan on the spot. I'm curious to know if you monitor the success of your programs and events and if it's something that you do. And if so, how are you tracking what works well and what you might need to change next time? So my question for you to think about is in 10 seconds or less, can you share one example, not two or three or four, but just one example, oh, Tim's put it in there, thanks, of how you monitor the success of your programs and events. So, Nathan, let's start with you, and then we'll go David and Joanne. What's one example of how you monitor the success of what you're doing?
Yeah, well, the last couple events, like with the games, I've been writing down on the schedule, like I'd have certain games supposed to play from 1 till 4, and then I noticed they'd be playing games only 1 till 2:30, like the games were just over, done quick right away on a Monday, so I would just write on a little note on the side saying how long the games actually were, and write down, like, add an hour and a half, 2 hours of extra games for next year. And then the next following day, I had games scheduled from 1 till 4, and then I noticed it was 1 till 9. Everyone, those were really long games, so then I had to write a note, take off half the games, and put it in the first day, like, just right on
that's
the schedule
great.
Itself. Like, so, but yeah,
awesome.
The games never go according to time, right? To the schedule, never. Or like, yeah. The people, like, it's always up in the air. So, yeah.
Thanks,
Nathan. Right on the schedule.
Awesome, thank you. So write it on the schedule what happened. Awesome. David, what's one thing in 10 seconds or less that you do to sort of monitor the success of your programs or events?
Well, at the end of each program, I have a program evaluation. What I've put together is a little laminated card they can quickly check off and leave comment. I can reuse them. So I get the evaluation information that I need without wasting paper.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you. like that. I'm just trying to pop some of your answers here in the chat, so thank you for sharing that. Joanne, what's one thing that you do to monitor the success of your programs or events?
Yes, I take notes during our programs or activities, and it's a way of monitoring them, and I have a section of positive and negative sides, and I record them into our log sheets. Thank you.
Oh, great. So you've got the plus and the let's improve this next time, and it goes right on your log. That's right. That's awesome. Thank you. Okay, Kumanopik, and or Trevor, what's something that you guys do to monitor the success of your programs? So you use a template with signatures and records on the file cabinet. That's great. Something like a report card. Oh, and you have to give it to the Hamlet. Okay, so that might track who participates, how long things take place and stuff like that. Thank you, Kumanopik. And I imagine that from Trevor as well. So over to you, Juliana. What is something that you do to monitor the success of your programs or events?
So sometimes I go around and I ask for some testimonies to see from people from different, if it's an event, like last time I did with the Christmas games, when we have from kids to elders, I try to get two from each age group. But lately it's helping us to see what are the highlights and the things that we should improve.
That's great. Thanks, thanks, Juliana, for sharing that. Can you pop that, if you're in the chat still, can you just pop that in the chat for me so I don't get too far behind? That would be great. Okay, and then Trista, you make detailed notes while you're planning the event. That's good timing, like, so not waiting till after the event, and also as you implement or deliver them, and then highlight changes so you have to come back to them next time. So awesome. And then obviously you must file those notes so that you can find them for, especially if it's a one-time event like in February, so you can find them next year. Thank you, Trista. Peter, how about yourself? What's one thing that you do to monitor your programs and events?
Well, the programs that we help fund and support, we have like a reporting tool where we get the leaders who ran the event to give us some information regarding like the participants that attended, the number of unique participants. A lot of that stuff is like sort of analytical though. So I've been like phoning the leaders and just kind of asking them candidly how their program ran and if they need any more support or, I don't know, just sort of having a conversation about it.
That's great. So some of that just conversational piece about how did things go, but also using an actual tool that's laid out that you can enter information online. So thank you. Thanks, Peter. Jed, let's go over to you and then Deanne and Isabel, and I'll also read what Tracy and Rebecca put into the chat. So, Jed, what's one thing that you do to sort of monitor how things are working with your programs or events?
Most times I'm constantly taking mental notes about what works and what doesn't in the program.
Great. So you sort of, you must have a good memory then. Like, do you find that you can remember what worked well from one year to the next, too?
Yeah, pretty well.
Oh, that's great. Do you chat about it with somebody else to sort of, so somebody else also understands what worked well, or do you just kind of keep that in mind and use it to plan the next time around?
Yeah, sometimes we do discuss, but most times it's just on me.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jed. Kian, how about yourself? What's something that you do to monitor the success of the programs or events you're running?
So let's say if I'm working with the kids and at the end of the session or program, we ask the questions, did you have fun? If they say yes, we had fun, so I would consider that the success of my program.
Great. Okay, so it's kind of like a thumbs up, thumbs down type thing almost, or a happy face?
Yes, so that's more facial recognition and, you know, talking, chatting, and doing some naughty stuff to do, kids.
That's great, thanks. And sometimes with children, or you can also do stickers, like you could give them stickers about how they might feel, you know, some of those emojis or something. They don't work in every single culture or community, but that's another way. And then they put the sticker up for the one that they feel about. So thanks, Gian. Isabel, how about yourself? What's something that you do to monitor the work that you do or the programs and events that you do?
I always like to do some kind of hot feedback right off the bat after, with a big, you know, a poster chart, and you just write what went well, the things that we should change next time, just a little quick feedback from the participants. And then we also have an online satisfaction survey that we can send through email, and then folks can just take the time whenever they're home to complete the few questions there that we ask their satisfaction about the event or the program.
That's great. Thanks, Isabel. So if you can pop that in the chat, too, and then we've got everybody's ideas in there. Tracy's mentioned that she monitors programs by taking notes and collecting feedback from the people who participate. And Rebecca, too, keeps notes and takes pictures. That's a really great way to do it. I like that idea, Rebecca. So pictures, you know, that it's kind of an old saying, but pictures, you know, mean 1,000 words. So sometimes I've seen some people and they have a picture of a child with the biggest smile on their face doing whatever the activity is. So, yeah, if you can take photos, if people let you do it, or even if you just keep them for your own record, photos are super awesome as well. And also ask for suggestions from the longtime athletes or participants or the coaches or leaders. So thanks for sharing. I think that kind of brings us to the end of our call. I'd like to just mention two things before I kind of remind you of where we're at. So one is, at the beginning of the call, I mentioned that Andrew and I had exchanged some photos about where we were and where we work and stuff. And I'm just wondering, and you can pop yes or no into the chat to tell me, or you can just think about it and let me know another time. But I'm wondering if there'd be an interest for people to share one or two photos about where you work or the type of work you do or what your community looks like. And we could put it together in a big slideshow that sort of shows the Recreation North training program community, because we're all in such different places. And so maybe just pop, if you're still in the chat, if you like that idea, put yes to photos. If you don't like it, put no to photos. That would just sort of give me an idea whether it's worthwhile following up on that or not. And then the other thing that I'd like to perhaps consider trying, but it might have to be a trial run, is to see if we can invite people who prefer to use a video to use your computer in a video, and people who prefer to use your phone to keep using the phone the way you're using it. I'll give you that option in our next learning event. And really choose what you prefer to do, but also think about the internet capability in your community. If you don't have great internet, stick with the telephone, and I'll put that in, and we'll maybe, it'll be a trial run, so we'll see how it works, but maybe we'll see if that's an option as well, because sometimes it's nice to be able to wave and smile and say hello to people too. So looks like photos are a good one, so I'll follow through on that shortly. So, and Kumanal Pick said maybe once the sun gets a little higher. Yeah, good idea. Maybe a name when you're doing your ice fishing. That would be great. So your final required learning activity, some of you have done both of them at the same time because they were Part A and Part B. So you can, if you haven't done either, you can submit both together. If you've done Part A and not Part B, then Part B is due on Sunday as well. So if you're in the Northwest Territory, read any comments that Tim might have made, and then make sure that you include or answer those in your Part B. And if you're in Nunavut or Yukon, I'll be providing and sharing some comments for you. And it's super awesome. I really appreciate everyone sharing your programs today. What you know, it's great to read each other's ideas, because you might get some good ideas for yourself as well. And then in our learning event, number seven is a feedback form. So you can start filling it out as of today if that works for you. The feedback is something that I collect after every learning event. And it really helps me, because I do read what you say and I make changes either for the next few learning events or for next year as well. So, merci trop, Nathronique, merci, Kwana. Thank you for joining us today. And if you have any questions Please stay on the call. And we do have a new learning event starting next week, which is January 23rd, and it will be basic recreation finances. Oh, and Joanne, thank you for reminding me. For those of you on the call, this is Joanne's 12th learning event. So as of now, she's earned her certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So if you guys want to pop a congratulations to Joanne in the chat, that would be awesome. And we're going to miss you, Joanne. Thank you. So thanks, everybody.
Thank
Stay
you,
on Caroline, the line.
And good luck to all the participants. And continue doing good that you're doing right now. And again, good luck and take care, everyone.
Thanks, Joanne. And I think that Tim and I get to meet you in Yellowknife in February, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, too. So we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, thanks, everybody. I think we had a really great call today. I appreciate your time, and I'm sorry I went over by a couple of minutes. But sign off, and Tracy, if you had any questions and want to stay on the call, you're more than welcome to, or if anybody else has questions. But otherwise, I'll stop the recording, and have a great afternoon.